Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, SWAF Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How was your weekend?
Yeah, it was good. I got my car was broken into.
I know, man. I didn't want to mention it in case you didn't want to mention it on the podcast.
But I'm going to track them down. Don't worry.
Well, I was thinking maybe we can use this podcast to try and track down the son of a bitch that broke the window.
Yeah.
And use sort of our collective pool of knowledge and, you know, skills. There are probably people who listen to this who have a certain set of skills. We have doctors who listen to this show. I'm sure they can do something.
I will find you. Why doctors? Oh, you mean doctors like PhDs,
yeah.
Not just medical doctors?
No, they've got PhDs. That's smart thinking,
yeah.
Man. That's way smarter than what we have.
I don't think I need those kind of smarts, though.
Oh, no?
I think I need street smarts.
Oh, street smarts, yeah, you're
so
right.
So people who didn't go to academic universities, they went to the Oxbridge of street life.
I see.
So I want someone who's been initiated into a gang, like age 9, done some, you know, horrible drug running things, maybe rose to the top of that gang by 15, 16, saw the error of their ways, reformed, helped reform a bunch of people, and now is in that unique spot where they still have connections to the gang world, but they've also maybe got a think tank or a charity to help kids get out of that sort of life.
Interesting.
I think that's the person I need to find.
Yeah.
To help me track down and tear off the people's fingernails who did this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just off the top of my head. I haven't pictured this or visualized how I'm going to get my own back.
If you are a person who has that specific storyline...
Yeah, because I'm not really interested in anyone else.
No,
yeah.
If you got out of the game at 18, you're probably... No, I don't think that works as well.
I think that's too long.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. You can never get out of it then. Mm. It'll always be ingrained in you if you go into there as an adulthood. So yeah, so if you do have that specific storyline, do get in touch because Ollie Davis needs your help.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything else you want to mention when I'm talking about it.
Glass is fun. So,
what they real did, glass, not the film, which is far from fun.
I heard a review that the review signed off with glass half full. I thought that was a good.
I
good
saw a
line.
Review that called it a masterpiece.
Hey, some people like it. Kermode is a big fan.
I know.
Mm.
I don't know why.
I don't know. I think if you're I don't know. It's so pedestrian.
Yeah.
It's not terrible, though.
No, it's just boring.
Yeah, arse, they should have called it. So I go downstairs. It's an underground car park as well. How is that not safer? And there are loads of other... Why has Laurie just walked in?
Hello, Laurie.
Hi, there's going to be a fire alarm test.
When?
What, right now?
In like a minute.
Oh, no.
And it's going to last 20 minutes.
What, 20 minutes of uninterrupted fire alarm?
That is what was said.
Oh, well,
that's going to make me cry.
Maybe we
cheers,
should,
Laurie.
Thank you, Laurie. Maybe we should abandon
Laurie's
this
dad
thing.
Used to be a fireman. I wonder if he just got that information on the down low.
Yeah.
Should we see what happens?
Okay.
Maybe it'll be delayed a bit.
Maybe. Okay, well, let's see what happens
if,
then.
If not, maybe you're only getting an intro today, folks.
Yeah. Maybe.
Oh, yeah, so quickly, to wrap up the story, I go downstairs, someone has just smashed in the passenger window of the car door, just for a couple of quid. That's all that was taken from the car.
Man.
Like £3-4. But I was like, ah, oh, that sucks. But some of the glass is still kind of hanging from the inside of the rim. And I thought, that looks like it might fall. So I opened the door and I pushed it shut. And it felt so satisfying. And I thought, there's still a bit in there. I went round the other side of the car, opened the driver's seat door, closed that really hard, and it made the more glass fall off on the other side. I did this for 5 minutes, covering up the crying inside.
I was going to say, yeah, you got to try and find your kick somehow. Let's have this Russo of Hey Quitty from Tyler. Greeting Luke, Ollie and Laurie, brackets, not Randy. I work at a Dodge dealership outside of Chicago where I work as a porter. I'm sorry, I don't know what a porter does at a car dealership.
So he's an old style stout.
Could be. On Thursday, I was bringing in a new car into the service area when I heard a familiar voice. I turn around and discovered it was Aiden English in the waiting room of the service area. I'm assuming you went, unfortunately, being a complete moron, I didn't want to bother him since he looked frustrated. Sorry I did not get a photo, but I was busy doing my job and I didn't want to get in trouble with my boss. Thanks for the great wrestling podcast. Keep up the consistent work. Stay swaft.
I love that. I love wrestlers in very ordinary, mundane settings.
Yes.
Well, so Aiden English was buying a new car?
No, getting his car serviced, I think.
Getting it serviced.
Which I had to do the other week, and it takes a long time. I was sat in a pub for hours waiting for my car to be serviced because it was in Slough, and I couldn't go home because by the time I got home, I'd have had to come back out to go pick up my car again, and I couldn't be bothered with that. So I went to a pub that was a bar and grill, but it was a fusion bar and grill. So it served all of your standard bar and grill stuff, like your burgers, your steaks, your things like that, but with an Indian twist. So it was a curry house, but also a bar and grill.
I'm always suspicious of places like that.
There is one opening up down my street.
I think you should master one. I just do one.
Yeah. So there was a pub down the end of my road called The Bell, which is a bit of a ropey pub as it was anyway. But it's been taken over now by a Green King, and they've got the posters up for it already. So it's called a Masala and Coal, I believe they call it.
Wow.
And then, yeah, there's one opening up down the end of my road.
Well, I'm going to have to get my car sorted out this weekend. That's my fun weekend.
Oh, mate, I'm
sorry. I've got carpet people coming on Saturday.
Oh, that's cool.
No, it isn't. it's all freaking carpet to me. This is very much a lady partner-driven thing.
Yeah, but carpet. No, yeah, I'm not going to try and pretend that it's good. This one comes in from Megan, talking about seeing wrestlers in very, you know, regular person situations. So from Megan, I shared a bathroom with Jenny Rose at an ROH taping. However, I didn't realise this at the time, and I tried not to make eye contact with the heavily made-up woman wearing a very frilly white shirt as I was washing my hands. From a female podswafter in the United States of America.
Way,
thank you very
exist.
Much, Megan.
Who is Jenny Frost?
What's
her name? Sorry?
Jenny Rose. Wrestler.
I'm not familiar with her.
Googling things live on air.
So you said it like you did know her.
Well, I was just reading out the email. That's Jenny Rose.
I can't say I've ever seen her.
But it's one of those things. It's not like Ring of Honor has got a defined women's division as of yet. It's
the Women of Honor.
Yeah, it's very much in its embryonic stages. Where they're like,
I think it's not going to get out of that because it's going to become the All Elite Wrestling women's division.
Because pretty much they were like, we need to do a women's division. Oh, WWE signed everyone. I guess we can sort of put this tournament together. Oh no, I think we've done this right. And then it's not really been sort of like, it doesn't really feel like it's been a featured part of Ring of Honor since.
No. That's the best kind of things, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you feel like you have to do them because other places are doing it.
Pretty. That pretty much feels like why they've decided
why
to
do
it.
Why we do punishments. Oh, we should talk about that.
Oh, the punishment video.
Yeah, true love punishment video.
That was good fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fun to make.
If you are one of our pledge hammers over on Patreon, you can see the outtakes from that from the shoot where we filmed loads of extra stuff that did not make it into the video itself, like us on slides, me accidentally punching you in the face, in your cold, cold face.
Me trying to kiss you.
Yeah, exactly. There's loads of stuff in the Patreon exclusive video. But it was good fun. I very much enjoyed it. Although that's one of the things, you're not supposed to enjoy it. It's supposed to be a punishment. I think there's a difference between enjoying something and giving it your all. Like, because we gave it our all, that made me enjoy it. I didn't, but again, I can't stress this enough. I did not want to do it.
Yeah, you've got to remember, we have to come up with all the ideas for that. So, like, if we lose, we have to do more work.
Yep.
We love making videos, but we make quite a lot of videos as it is.
Yeah, it also delayed us because we then had to do extra work on Friday because we didn't have time to do it on Thursday. So, you know, it's got a knock-on effect. I've got this quick email here from Martin Harmon before we get into the show itself. As a WrestleTalk get better, but not the sort of WrestleTalk get better that we're sort of used to. This comes in from Martin. Hi, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, but not Nacho Man Randy. Martin, you might remember, is the guy that I had the boring conversation with about bus routes at a Rev Pro show. Yeah. You get a lot of letters about people taking your advice about getting healthier and physical. These never resonate with me because I can't be asked to exercise. However, I did take some of your other advice the other day, which helped me with my overall well-being. My wife and I are looking to move house but didn't know where to begin. I was inspired when you guys started talking about the Marie Kondo method and really related to Luke when you said you have piles of CDs and DVDs. This is much like me, so I gave her show on Netflix a watch and it changed my outlook on our belongings. This week we donated 12 bags of clothes to the Salvation Army, one bag of new clothes to the local homeless charity in Bracknell, and I made 36 quid on my CDs, which is buying my Progress Super Strong Style 16 tickets. Just wanted to say thanks for the inspiration and keep up the consistent work from Martin. P.S. Thanks for reading out my Patreon post on Saturday about Weezer, but it made me chuckle as the very next question about meeting you guys at shows was brought up about meeting after Rev Pro about Reading bus routes. Clearly this meeting holds a place in your heart, but you read out my name minutes before and didn't recall it. Don't worry, not actually offended, although I'll sign off emails and questions from now on as RG Martin Harmon or Route 6 Martin Harmon. Your choice. I prefer Route 6 Martin Harmon. So you can put that name on the anecdote with a little smiley face emoji at the end.
That sparks joy for me.
That sparks joy That's for great. Me as well. We've got another Pledge Hammer update in the outro of this podcast where we're going to be talking about fantasy booking warfare and the topics that are suggested. But
fire alarm permitting.
Fire alarm permitting.
And this is typical for this place.
Oh, yeah.
It was going to start a minute after Laurie said that.
Yeah.
7 minutes later.
Still has not done it.
We're in permanent dread.
So, we're going to be kicking things off. Is Ronda Rousey turning heel? Here's the show.
We're kicking off with Ronda seemingly... I mean, you did a face. You did a face immediately.
An immediate face?
Was an immediate... I don't buy into the title of this episode, face.
I'm basically being a YouTube comment who's going to comment before even watching the video. Before I even hear your arguments, I'm going to pull a face and leave a comment to say, no, I don't think she is.
I don't necessarily think either way. I think she's, if anything, she's becoming a tweener. But it's a discussion worthy for debate.
It really is.
Because you've got this opening segment of Raw, which was Becky Lynch coming out to see, you know, SmackDown star. Becky Lynch coming out to see Stephanie McMahon.
To be suspended on Raw.
And it was all based around Becky won't go and see doctors because the last time she saw doctors, they wouldn't clear her for Survivor Series, even though she thought she could do it, which is a terrific piece of character work. We'll go into it when we talk about that segment later. But it ends with Stephanie saying, well, if you won't see the doctors, you're going to have to be suspended in that, you know, a sort of Daniel Bryan kind of heel where you're actually doing the right thing. And Becky attacks her, blah, blah, blah. Becky's carried, well, sort of escorted out. When she's escorted out, when she's walked out backstage by security, that's when she comes face to face with Ronda Rousey, who immediately just cuts. I thought it was a good promo with some really cool lines in there. Brian Alvarez has said it sounds like nothing normal people would say.
There was one line which I thought was really bad, which is when she said, and I quote, you just robbed the women's evolution of a match.
Yeah, that's a... But Meltzer made this point. She is so passionate and sort of just making so much noise and shouting that you're like, I kind of buy into you as just the emotion behind you and that you don't like Becky, it doesn't really matter what you say. And I thought there were enough lines in there, like the moping, woe is me line. There was a bit where she said, you keep showing up on Raw for your weekly violin recital. Yeah. I really like that. And then I don't know what, I cannot work out what she said. I just know she said bitch at the end of it.
I was going to say, because I thought this was a really good promo, because what I like about Ronda's promos is that when she's in between the garbage verbiage that she's given, which is things like, you just robbed the women's evolution of a match that they wanted to see. Like, that's awful. No one really talks like that. But the way she cuts her promos usually, it does feel sort of unscripted because she does trip over words. She doesn't get things out perfectly. Mm-hmm. And I quite like that about Ronda's promo delivery.
I agree.
Because it feels like she's so passionate that she just wants to say things, but doesn't quite always get it out as eloquently as possible.
Mm.
And I thought there was some nice stuff in here, but there was also times when she would just go, blah, 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 bitch.
Blah, 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 blah.
And you watch her go like, huh? Sorry, what? And you have to kind of rewind to hear what she actually said.
Do you know what she said?
No.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't figure it out. Anyway, I'm sure everyone commented.
I know I said you could go back and watch, but I wasn't that. I wasn't watching.
I went back and watched three times. I'm giving up. I'm abandoning this. But she said bitch, which... You know, that's a big thing.
That's how you kickstart a feud.
Oh, yeah.
You say it's a big thing in WWE, but everyone and their mother says it these days, so it doesn't really feel like that much of a big deal anymore.
It still gets a reaction.
It's all Roman Reigns did to get over feuds.
But this is where the Roman Reigns comparison might come in, though, because Ronda here, as soon as she came face to face with Becky, the crowd are booing. You can hear them on the mics in the audience. And... you're like, okay, here's this person who is going against a beloved figure. No matter what she does, no matter if you present her as a heel or what, Becky is cheered. But Ronda is getting a booze, mainly because she's not Becky. Because I think we were all into her, but she's now... So usually you would just double down on both those reactions, turn Ronda more heel. And I thought that the way this promo was cut had a heelish feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now... then she walks out and she is smiling, high-fiving kids at ringside.
Glad-handing, yeah.
So it is totally, when I'm in a feud with you, Becky, when I'm in segments with you, I am just a badass person who's going to say whatever, could be heelish or not, to get under your skin. But actually, I love you guys. I love my fans.
And you've got Michael Cole on commentary going like, Ronda's the best. She's so great. She's a fighting champion. She's done this. She's done that. Sort of hammering it home. But the kind of the crowd booing Ronda, it's a lot like Rock Hogan at WrestleMania X8, which was just that, like, The Rock is like he's the most over guy at the moment. Like, everyone loves The Rock. But it's also Hogan's first match back in WWE in, like, you know, however many years. So the crowd were more into Hogan than they were Rock. So Rock, when he's on offense, even though he's the babyface and Hogan was the heel, they're booing The Rock and cheering Hogan. Sometimes these things just happen. WrestleMania X7 is another example. You had Austin and Rock, the two biggest babyfaces going at it for the WWF Championship in the main event of WrestleMania. But it was Austin's first Mania back since his big injury. And so everyone was just super into Austin. And sometimes these things just happen. I don't think you have to turn Ronda heel in order to, quote, capitalize on this heat that she's getting. But this is just going to be one of those situations where the crowd is just going to be more into Becky than they are Ronda. Because I think at the moment, anyone's just going to boo whoever Becky's going against because that person is not Becky.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why WWE are so reluctant to put a heel against Becky. Like, well, Asuka cheered. Charlotte, that she's still... Road Dogg still thinks she's a babyface.
And you as well.
And me as well. I think Road Dogg thinks she's a babyface.
Okay. I don't think Charlotte does, though.
No. It'll be interesting, especially how it plays into the actual match at Mania, where those dynamics actually become quite important. Because if Ronda... is being beaten up by Becky and you're trying to build to a big hope spot or a comeback from Ronda, people aren't going to react to it the right way you want them to. You've got to structure the match around Ronda being in the heel role.
Exactly.
Although maybe not necessarily a heel character.
Exactly. You know, Rock Austin played that up perfectly in that WrestleMania match.
And Hogan and Rock, they switched the dynamic
because
of the reactions.
So you've got to tailor the match to that. You can't go in there and be like, well, I'm sure they'll cheer Ronda eventually.
Yeah.
If you're going into that match, you just have to know that everyone's going to be booing Ronda, particularly because it's a WrestleMania traveling audience. It's your hardcore fan base. Yeah. They are going to be 100% behind Becky there.
Yeah, and I agree with you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I feel like because it's a new person, though, we're not looking at the last 3 years of Roman Reigns stuff where Vince has just gone against that. You will cheer him.
Yeah.
I'll put him in the main event.
If she's in peril, then they will cheer her, yeah. Right?
He's the guy that looks at EC3. Loads of money. That guy's a babyface. This is the guy we're dealing with Vince McMahon. So after that promo backstage on Becky, she comes out. She is cheered, but she faces Liv Morgan of the Riot Squad, beats her really quickly. Then she challenges Sarah Logan. The crowd are like, nah, we're going to boo you now.
Yeah.
And they booed Ronda Rousey for the Sarah Logan match, made her tap as well. And then Ruby Riott teased going against Ronda and was like, no, actually, not yet. So that seems to be this fast lane match.
Elimination Chamber.
Oh, yeah, Elimination Chamber, which is in 2 weeks.
Yeah, next week's the go-home show.
That's come round quick.
Yeah, and like we've been saying probably since Super Showdown that, man, if they just push Ruby Riott, she could be a really good opponent for Ronda Rousey. Not like a super serious, or she might take the title, but like a really good, a good buffer match,
yeah,
between
a
like
match.
A filler match between her big feud, and they've just gone nah, and now we're 2 weeks before Elimination. Oh, actually, we probably better add, yeah, because Ronda's not got a match, and everyone else is in the chamber, so we've got to put her against someone, and it can't be Mickie James, so I guess it's going to have to be Ruby Riott.
Yeah, it's so rushed, unfortunately. But Ruby gets backstage afterwards, after she's backed away from Ronda, a typically heel move that the crowd were booing Rousey for, and honestly, when Ruby cut this promo, I was like, I'm on your side, Ruby.
Yeah, I know.
Ruby was like, friends have got to stick together. Ronda's just had everything handed to her. I was like, yeah, I feel like Rousey was a bit nasty here, beating up all of Ruby's friends.
Yeah, but she also did it like a valiant champion of just, yes, like, I'm here for a fight, and I want to fight. So it's a weird dynamic, but it's what you've got to do is you've got to hope that they are smart about this. Perhaps that is wishful thinking. They're going to be smart about this and not fall into this Roman Reigns, John Cena trap of just like, well, it's what did Michael Hayes say? It's in that Royal Rumble documentary. It's just like, hey, man, different city. You might get a different reaction next week. Whatever. It's like, we can't book for one town. And it's like, we're a worldwide company. We've got to book for the whole world. It's like, what if he's booed around the whole world? Then he's still being booed.
What is more worldwide than the internet? The clue's in the name with WWW. Book for us, Michael Hayes. I guess the question is Ronda Rousey turning heel? I agree with you. Not before WrestleMania. Not even during WrestleMania. I think that's going to be the current dynamics of badasses where Becky will just be cheered more.
Mm-hmm.
The night after Mania, if Ronda chooses to stay longer than the reported year thing to start a family, I can definitely see all of this stuff now playing into her heel turn a couple of weeks after Mania or the night before with a four horsewomen call-up.
Well, that's so there was a report that the all eight women within the two four horsewomen factions really, really are pushing for that match at the moment. And if the reports are true that Ronda is going to be taking some time off after WrestleMania, then the only time to do that is at Fastlane, because it won't be at Elimination Chamber.
Ooh.
So you've got to have Ronda in a heelish mode for when Baszler, Duke, and Shafir come up, who are like nothing but heels,
yeah,
to make that sort of dynamic work.
Baszler's never going to be a face. She's like the anti-Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I always love that argument when people say online, it's just like, there are no baby faces and heels anymore. And then you look at some of the acts next to you, like, no, they're definitely heels, and yeah, they're definitely baby faces. They do still exist.
It's just you can't book them properly. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't think, I wouldn't want that. I think it's too crammed to suddenly have a four horsewomen match before Mania. But after Mania, I'm just hoping if Ronda wants that match enough that she'll stick around, turn heel in the process. And this stuff might be planting the seeds for it.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've been dropping hints for it. You had Sasha doing the four horsewomen symbol on the Royal Rumble. Becky and Bayley did it to each other when Raw was like, you know, off air, essentially during the commercial break. And they posted it up as a special video to show that they, and like sort of highlighting the fact that they threw the four horsemen sign up to each other. So I think they're kind of like dropping these hints in there. And Ronda's been cutting promos for like the YouTube channel that's, I think, is Continuity.
I don't know.
I think
it, I don't know about the YouTube channel
or WWE.com. Yeah. But what she's been like, she's annoyed that they keep calling themselves the Horsewomen when the MMA Horsewomen were quote there first. Or
yeah, in lady terms, the yeah. men for Horsewomen. As always, we got there first, women.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let's do some Patreon shout-outs for our $25 and above pledge hammers. Thank you ever so much, Paulie Dangerously Jarman.
What a guy. Yes. What a guy. The craftsman, Blake Carpenter.
Yes,
the name you could not get right in his video.
$100 man, CD Horver.
Yes. Woo. Liam, solid as a rock.
Yes. I can't say that name without singing. The event known as Chris Anderson to this side, the best in the world.
Oh, what a
great,
Chris.
Great name.
Adam and the Anthony Bergeron.
One of my favourite all-time bands.
Yeah.
Ask his future husband and EOF one-man wrecking crew, Skin Trade.
Not the easiest name to get through, but you did it well. You'll never get this name right, you idiot. Matthew Zimjewinski. Yeah, you're right, I'll never get it right.
Polish. Brett the Hitman, Matthew Williams.
Nice, yes.
Best there ever was.
Oh, killer Chris Phillips. Watch out.
Slayer dead.
Dangerous.
Infinite Crisis, Chris Jenkins.
Thanks for the t-shirt. Christopher the Condor Johnson.
Yes,
oh, nice
thank
lad.
Thank you.
Yep.
And let's have a drink. Christopher Travis Merriman.
Oh, he's merry.
Whoa.
He's very merry.
As we already mentioned, Raw opened with a Becky Lynch angle, which is Stephanie McMahon coming out. She's about to introduce Becky when Becky interrupts Stephanie McMahon's introduction of her, which is setting things off from a very positive note. Stephanie is already getting her comeuppance from Becky.
Yeah, I've got to be honest, there was a little bit of me that was concerned about this segment. When they announced Stephanie McMahon is going to have a segment with Becky Lynch, your first thought is like, oh, well, a woman's getting over. Of course, Stephanie's got to sidle herself into this segment here. But actually, this came off really, really well for Becky, and it made her look like a badass. And actually, Stephanie wasn't out there to emasculate Becky. She wasn't out there to make Becky look rubbish. If anything, she was out there just to further a storyline, and it worked quite effectively. It could have been any McMahon in that role. It just happened to be Stephanie.
Yeah, but I think it being Stephanie is quite key, just from a little thing that happened, which was, I thought this whole segment and how it was dealt with for the rest of the show was really, really low-key awesome. Like, it's not a blow-away, oh my God, this is amazing, because how many times have we seen, I've got to suspend you, mm-hmm. baby face?
Yeah, I mean, this is literally Vince and Steve Austin from 1997. And I did see someone say, like, this would have been like, in 1997, them repeating a storyline from 1975.
Mm. Which I'm sure they did. Oh, no, they recycled. I mean, that was like a really solid booking time through the 60s and
90s. Yes, but like the heel authority figure was very much a product of the 90s.
One. Not that one. So Stephanie says, look, you have, here's what's happened. You're challenging Ronda. You won the Rumble. But you also injured your knee. And I can't help but notice, as your contractor, not employer, that you're limping a lot and you're always favouring it. And you're kind of not getting seen to about it. And we don't want, like, we've got the WrestleMania main event. We need to know if you're good to wrestle. And Becky's like, no, I'm fine. That's an Irish accent.
Oh,
yes,
yeah,
you
yeah,
heard
yeah.
correctly.
I did, yes, you're right.
And Becky just uses all of this anger and bravado to say, no, I'm not going to get checked out. I'm totally fine.
Yeah.
And when she's, you know, she said everything without saying it. She's not totally fine. She is scared, because what happened last time when she had this huge match at Survivor Series didn't happen for her because she wasn't medically cleared and she thought she could make that fight.
Yeah.
But the doctors told her not to. So she's not going to see the doctors. I think it's brilliant character work.
I think it's really great. And she said to Steph that I'm the glitch in your plan. Like, you had this sort of perfect WrestleMania plan you wanted to do, essentially alluding to the Charlotte thing. She's like, no, but you never planned on me getting over, and now you want to derail that. So if I go backstage, and you're just going to have them say, I'm not medically cleared, which is essentially what she was saying after Survivor, or before Survivor Series. It was like, I could definitely do this fine, but I'm in, like, what was it, the doctor's... Oh, she kept saying there was a term that she used that she was, like, in, like... The doctor's not allowing her to wrestle, but she was in a specific place. I can't remember what it was now. I'm sure people will tell me in the comments.
Mm.
But she's kind of sort of playing off this.
Yeah,
that was an excellent point if I could have remembered what it was. Yeah. Becky kept calling it.
But then, like Becky says, well, if you do suspend me,
Doctor Prison. Yes,
Doctor Prison. I'm gonna have to beat you up. And Stephanie's like, I've gotta suspend you. And Stephanie, I don't think was coming off as heelish here. Ronda Rousey was a lot more heelish, but it planted the seeds for Stephanie to be a heel later on. So it's a nice slow turn if they're going that way. It gets a lot of options available, and I don't mind which way they go. And Becky attacks her, and they have a scuffle. Loads of people run in, drag her away. Stephanie is like made to look beaten up.
Yeah.
It's not like Stephanie fires back like Shane would.
And with the tag title.
Yeah. Oh, God!
Why isn't Stephanie in the Elimination Chamber?
Yeah. But what happens is that, I don't know if, I didn't see them do it here, but it was later on in the show, like the third hour, where they say, here's what happened earlier on, blah, blah, blah. They do this all the time. Oh, and also we've noticed, you can see Stephanie kick Becky's knee.
And they slowed
it down and focused in on it. And I was like, that's awesome, because you didn't make a big thing of it at the time. It's like you've just found it now. It makes it more realistic. Very subtle storytelling. And you're like, did she do that because she was frantically being beaten up? She didn't know what to do. She just lashed out and just so happened to hit the injured knee of Becky? Or actually, is Becky right?
Yeah.
And Stephanie is trying to take her out of the main event.
Because Becky is the glitch in their plan, and perhaps next week they can do the big announcement of, we've got our WrestleMania main event sorted out, here comes Charlotte Flair.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the way you write Charlotte into this triple threat match.
Or maybe just don't have that and Becky overcomes Charlotte again.
No, because Charlotte's the key here. Like, that's why this is getting over, is because Flair's involved, right? Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's the reason.
I just thought this wasn't crazy good. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't crazy blow away, I mean, but I think the foundations of this were so solid and actually really, really good at building up the ultimate story. So I was a huge fan of this opening segment.
It was the best thing on the show.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Well, apart from Charlie Caruso's interviewing skills, which is now my favourite thing. So you're a bit of a rubbish person who loses all the time. What do you think
about this?
I don't...
Kurt Angle's a bit crap. Why do you like him?
Yeah. I don't know. It's a bit of a loaded question, Charlie. So that actually is the next thing that happened, because we had the Becky Lynch stuff, and then we had the Ronda Rousey stuff and the match with the Riot Squad people. And then we got Bayley and Sasha Banks backstage, where they're standing there. And Charlie Caruso asks them these questions. Hey, you both lost to Ronda. You lose a lot. So why are you so rubbish? Bayley goes, yeah, we are a bit rubbish, aren't we? Yeah. But not together.
Yeah, together we are stronger.
And we're going to win the Elimination Chamber.
I'm pretty sure Charlie's exact question was, you've both suffered devastating championship matches against Ronda Rousey. I think she meant to say losses.
Mm-hmm. It's great. So this is obviously awful. Like, this is, we're making fun of this. But it's like when Braun Strowman forgot all his words in that promo.
Yeah.
I'm getting an immense delight in this rubbish way. Because they're not intentionally trying to make this character just savage. They're just awful at scripting interviews.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of this. She does it later to Apollo Crews.
You'd have thought as well, when they put together that absolutely incredible video package for Mean Gene, that someone backstage was like, oh, interviewers really did used to get our wrestlers over. Mean Gene was really integral to getting a lot of these wrestlers over. Do you think we should probably try that again with Charlie or with the other one on SmackDown?
Kayla Braxton.
Who's Dasha?
Dasha Fuentes. I think he's injured at the moment.
Okay. Yeah. Injured her arm, I'm assuming.
I don't know.
It's hard to. My guest at this time. my shoulder.
Bump. Flat back bump. Yeah, so, Charlie. I've nicknamed her Mean Charlie. Because these are just mean. These are flat out mean questions. I think she's trying to get fired. I think she's off to AEW.
But anyway, Alicia Fox and Nikki Cross walked up, who appear to be friends now. I think Nikki Cross is heel.
Who knows about people's heel-face dynamics? With the Ronda one, it's intriguing. With everyone else, it's just plain inconsistent. I liked that Nikki said, Alicia wants to play. And that was kind of enough for me to go, okay, so that's why you're a team.
Yeah, you reckon?
Yeah, just for now. I mean, I never bought into them lasting beyond the match they had later on.
Well, we'll see next week, I guess.
But I thought Cross's promo here was good.
Cross is great. She's really, really good. It's still stunning that she's not with Sanity, but it's still, you know, she's a very, very good promo.
What's a Sanity?
They were a tag team. Well, actually, they were a faction that were in NXT.
Even you don't know. Control C, Control V.
Aha!
So next up, we got Heavy Machinery in a four-way tag match to crown the number one contenders to a tag team title set.
Yeah.
Stop us if you've heard this one before. It's exactly what happened last week on SmackDown, but much, much better with teams like the Usos, the New Day, and the Bar.
Yeah, man. It's when the B team and Lucha House Power, that you're like, boof, man, this tag division is really lame.
Mm.
I mean, and I like Lucha House Party, but have they done anything of note?
No, well, you say the same about the Revival.
Yeah, actually,
I love the Revival, but have they done anything of note on the main roster?
Wasn't their storyline that they just kept getting screwed by referees? Has that been dropped?
I don't know. And I don't know what their storyline with Kurt Hawkins and Zack Ryder is either, because they kind of cheated last week a bit to win.
Did they?
To beat them? I don't know. I think they... Dave Meltzer keeps on talking about how Raw genuinely want to flesh out their tag division. What?
Yeah, I know.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm not seeing it either.
Maybe Dave Meltzer doesn't get sarcasm. And his source is saying, yeah, they're really going to double down on the tag division.
Because the Revival asked for their release. They're really going to try hard with them now. Oh, the B team, big push, headed for a big push. Yeah.
So that is, of course, not what happened. It was really hard for this to be in any way entertaining beyond Heavy Machinery, because, like you said, Lucha House Party, the Revival B team, they've done nothing of note. Like, the B team have won the tag team titles. I kind of forget that a lot.
Yeah.
And the crowd have just been taught, do not care about these guys. So when they're in the ring, guess what? No one cares about them. Contrast that with the SmackDown match. New Day, Bar, Usos. Everyone's super into them. So the only team that people were into here were Heavy Machinery.
Which is a good thing, I suppose.
Yeah, because they're fresh. Because they haven't been booked into oblivion. That's the only thing that separates Heavy Machinery from the other ones. Because they've, like the Revival, Lucha House Party, better. They're much better wrestlers.
Yeah. Do you know what does separate Heavy Machinery from everyone else, though? They've had two chances to become the number one contenders and have failed both times.
Yeah, luckily they weren't pinned in either, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
And also, thankfully, Heavy Machinery are actually over now. Like, yeah. It's taken a few weeks. The crowd didn't really know the spots at first, but Otis's caterpillar elbow got a huge pop.
Well, you know why they're over now, right? It's because they've now lost their surnames.
Have they?
Yes. So this, I watched
Otis
back,
and Tucker.
I've watched back the commentary. Corey Graves keeps saying their full names, but Michael Cole keeps saying singular names. And I don't think this was like really revealed on the Raw show itself, but on WWE.com, they are just listed as Otis and Tucker. So that's why they're over now, you see. It's the same with Andrade. You lose a surname, you get over.
I mean, I can't fault that logic recently, though. And Alexander Rusev sounds stupid now.
Antonio Cesaro is a dreadful name.
Adrian Neville. Yeah. Sorry if anyone's actually called that.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the name Adrian. But it's like, I remember when me and my wife were first talking about WrestleMania. And she was asking me, like, genuinely asking me, so what's going to happen at WrestleMania tonight? Like, take me through the matches. And, you know, it's just, I want to hear about why you're excited for this show. And I said, oh, Neville's defending his Cruiserweight Championship. And she went, sorry, his name's Neville. I was like, yeah. She goes, like the Harry Potter character.
Yeah.
And I was like, it sounds stupid if you're not a fan.
It's a football thing. It's a football thing too. Revival beat Bo Dallas with a Shatter Machine. There was a bit of the Raw Tag Team Champions that I keep forgetting are the Tag Team Champions, Chad Gable and Bobby Roode, watching on backstage. But then it cuts backstage to Hawkins and Ryder. Hawkins is beat up and he's like, ugh.
I'm toxic. You don't want to be a tag partner with me. I've lost 2 years straight. I've lost 250 matches. Why would you want to be a tag team with me? And Zach just makes the excellent point. Last week they spelt my name wrong. I've been here for 13 years and they don't know what my name is.
I'm crap too.
Why don't we be crap together? And perhaps, like Bailey and Banks, two negatives turn into a positive.
God, I'm glad Charlie Caruso wasn't there to get Hawkins' thoughts on all this. Drive the poor guy to severe depression.
Yeah.
This was a cute segment. I'm actually into this storyline between them. Yeah. I thought it was nice for them to come together. And as Hawkins walks off, he goes, hey, maybe if we win, they'll spell your name right. And Zach goes, I can't even spell my name right. I just thought it was good delivery. It was a nice way to end it.
But just perfect WWE there. They make a mistake, but it was Zach's fault, really.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Zach would have made the same mistake.
I mean, it's Baron Corbin's, ultimately.
Yeah.
But, yeah, not definitely not the McMahons.
No.
Kurt Angle arrives backstage next.
he hugged Mickey James.
What's going on there? I didn't have this in my... I had too much stuff in my Raw review. I had to cut all this fury out. Why is Mickey James the first to hug Kurt Angle after teaming with Alexa Bliss as a goddamn heel last week?
Well, I think Alexa's a babyface now. Going by the segment that comes later, I think she is.
But she was a heel last week and Bliss was...
Yeah, but she was also a babyface at the week before the Rumble, I think.
Oh, God. I mean, to be fair, Alexa Bliss should be a babyface.
Yes.
But just do something to make us... Don't have her cut heel promos in between the babyface turn. Mickey James as well is an absolute freaking joke. And I don't mean that about Mickey James the person. I mean the character and the way she's been portrayed and inconsistently booked. How many times has she flip-flopped between allegiances? I'm with Alexa. I'm with Ember Moon. Who gives a crap? And to make this even more stupid, Kurt Angle, you know, Apollo Crews, No Way Jose. What a respected legend Kurt Angle is. All these guys have come out to talk to him. And he goes down to the ring. He starts to address his future in WWE, obviously building towards some kind of retirement storyline or one last run. And it cuts backstage to all the people in the locker room watching this legend potentially retiring. We have No Way Jose, Apollo Crews, Heath Slater, Rhino, Mickey James, Chad Gable, Bobby Roode.
So a bunch of jabronis then.
The undercard.
Yeah.
What? It looks so just mid-card.
Rinky-dink.
Yeah, this is Kurt frickin' Angle.
Ollie Davis' favourite wrestler of all time. But yeah, I mean, at least he's doing the storyline that you wanted.
A storyline that is apparently meant for Seth. So
what?
Meltzer speculated that the storyline was meant to be Corbin and Drew taking on Strowman and Seth as maybe a tag main event for Elimination Chamber.
Right.
But Seth's injured.
Oh, I see.
Put Kurt Angle in there.
Yeah. Well, we thought it might be Dolph. That's what we speculated last week. Because they're like, well, Braun will need a tag partner. Go back to his old Dogs of War allegiances. Bring back Dolph, who came back at the Rumble and has not been seen or mentioned since.
Chuck Bobby Lashley in there. That is a late 2018 heel party. Christ alive. Kurt Angle says he hasn't been able to defeat Father Time.
Yes.
And Baron Corbin comes out to genuine heat. Set, like, again, say what you will about Corbin, gets genuine heat when he comes out.
Yeah.
People boo him because booing him's fun and because they want him to go away, but not in an X-Pac way.
I'm not sure. I'm fully on board with that.
Really?
Yet. I could feel this is a bit X-Pac heat. I mean, maybe it's just me projecting because he gets X-Pac heat from me, which is just like, oh, God. Because when Baron Corbin comes out, I think, all right, brilliant. So I've got to sit through a Baron Corbin promo, and that's going to lead to a Baron Corbin match, which I don't want to see.
Yeah, it's a bit formulaic. I'm a big fan of Corbin in the mid-card. I just don't think he should be made. Like, how many Raw main events has this guy had?
Well, this is it. I was thinking about this while watching this segment. When Baron Corbin came out, my first thought was like, Bobby Roode is like really lower mid-card, like real lower undercard. And he's so much better than Baron Corbin. Why isn't Bobby Roode pushed more? And I went on this train, I was like, why isn't this person pushed more? Why isn't this person pushed more?
It's a slippery slope.
It is a real slippery slope. And every time I kept coming back to, but Baron Corbin's still in the main events of Raw each and every bloody week because he's tall, I guess.
It eventually leads you to the question, does Raw have a main event picture?
Yeah, it's Baron Corbin.
Well, exactly. But that isn't really Raw's main event picture. Brock Lesnar is the main event picture.
I suppose
you're
right.
Which shifts everyone down to mid-card.
Yeah, you're absolutely right,
so all this stuff is mid-card. Seth Rollins really is mid-card until Brock's around.
Yeah, he has been mid-card for like all of 2018.
And that means like the tag division, Apollo Crews, their undercard. What's a No Way Jose? I don't know. It's an absolute mess, really.
Mm.
Which is probably why a lot of Raw feels so lackluster and lacking of star power, whereas SmackDown feels rammed. You know, AJ, Joe, Brian.
SmackDown is at a point where it's so full of like top tier talent and stars that not everyone can feature on every show. Mm. And that's not a bad thing. Whereas like, oh, Samoa Joe wasn't on TV this week, but so he'll be on TV the following week. And they've got like, if Randy Orton takes 4 weeks off TV, it doesn't really feel like, oh man, they're really missing Randy Orton there, because there are like 10 other people that can fill his spot. Whereas Raw, at times, it's like if once Seth Rollins out with an injury and you notice it within like 1 week, yeah, you're like, oh man, I can already tell that Seth, like, they're out of top guys.
Yeah, and no Roman as well.
Yeah.
Braun has kind of been, you know, he's lost a lot of momentum. Anyway, so Baron Corbin and Drew McIntyre come out.
Poor old Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, he's been a bit mishandled as well. Yeah, and Kurt challenges them both. They come down, but Braun Strowman comes down for the rescue. And it sets up a tag team main event after Braun threw a giant chair at Corbin.
Yeah.
He threw that sucker hard.
Oh, yeah. He was like, he had Corbin in his sights.
I mean, like, it's a 20 by 20 ring. He threw that chair at least 20 feet.
Yeah.
Because it hit the steel steps and he was on the other side. Very impressive.
With the character that Drew McIntyre has, I really do not like seeing him bail like a cowardly heel the way that Baron Corbin does.
Yeah, I agree. Then we got a promo for Black History Month.
I wasn't going to take any notes on this because I thought Ollie Davis would take all the notes that I need.
It's a video package for a month that apparently, you know, I've said I'm not going to go into my piece about why just having months for stuff on a wrestling show just seems a bit vacuous and PR-y and blah, I don't really care.
It's there for PR purposes.
Whatever. And I just don't get why it's being done in a wrestling show. Nia Jax was there. You had the New Day, fine. Ember Moon, fine. They're baby faces. Nia Jax and Tamina were there, smiling, looking at, you know, the what was the museum? It was a civil rights museum, looking at stuff and going, this is important stuff. I'm like, why are you in this video package?
Yeah,
you are meant to be heels.
When they come out later.
Yeah, so it's just like, okay, what you're watching is all fake, but here's everyone getting along fine in this bit that we made for PR purposes and company presentations. So everything outside of this, don't get invested in, because it's not real.
None of it's real.
Then we got the Seth Rollins video package, which was just like, yeah, he's not around today. They didn't say that.
No, essentially this video package was, missed the last couple of weeks, we'll catch you up. Because Seth's not here to do that for us, so we'll just do that in video form.
Yeah.
Fair enough?
Apparently a month.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's not good at all.
Back problem, apparently.
Ouch.
Yep.
I'm sure taking all those F5s really helped.
That's on the front. Then we got Bayley and Sasha Banks taking on Alicia Fox and Nikki Cross. Sasha Banks is also someone who's working injured off the back of the Rumble match with Rousey.
I didn't notice that. I mean, I didn't really pick up on it until I saw the news that she's apparently injured. I was like, oh, well, that makes sense why she didn't do a single thing in this match then.
Yeah, she was... Banks and Bayley were jumped backstage because Cross is crazy and so is Fox. But you never see Banks take any punishment. And all the time she's on the apron, she never tags in. Bayley gets the roll-up. So super, super safe. But this was... I never bought into Cross and Fox winning, but this was a nice wrinkle to at least make me watch the match and go, huh, I wonder how they're going to lose. Whereas before, it was just, they're going to lose.
Do you know what my favourite part of this match was? My favourite part of this match was that Nikki Cross and Alicia Fox attack, they brutalise Banks and Bayley and leave them laying on the ramp and they celebrate, ha ha ha, dastardly heels. Oh man, how are Bayley and Banks going to come back from this? They come back from commercial break, Bayley's on top and she's already winning. And I was like, okay, I've missed a step here.
Yeah, that was bad pacing.
And then the heels started to work her over. I was like, well, what was the start then?
Yeah, yeah, it's problematic. But I thought Cross did really well in this match.
Yeah.
And great promo earlier. So I've just got a little suggestion here. Fox lost by getting rolled up by Bayley suddenly. Well, hey, babyfaces celebrate. Nikki Cross has got to just kill Alicia Fox here.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen. I was waiting for it. I thought, surely this is what they're going to do to get over this new female wrestler into the division and to the audience. Nothing.
No. Speaking of which, where's Lacey Evans been?
Oh, yeah. Don't worry, we get some EC3 later.
We certainly
do. Mean Charlie Caruso strikes again to Apollo Crews, saying, hey, you like Kurt Angle, but Kurt Angle loses all the time. He's a bit rubbish.
He's rubbish. Why do you like him? Your taste is terrible.
He's well old, and you like him. You're stupid, Apollo Crews.
Yeah. Have you won a match, Apollo Crews? I bet you're a rubbish. It's probably because you like Kurt Angle. That's why you're so rubbish.
Yes, and then Apollo Crews is like, yeah.
He's quite good, though.
And Drake Maverick and Razor. Razor.
Yeah.
Of AOP is walking in the background. They come over and, yeah, just they say, yeah, of course Kurt's going to get beaten up.
Yeah. Setting up that mouth-watering feud between Apollo Crews and Razor of AOP.
Mm. With, I'm sure, a singles match against Drake Maverick.
Yeah, could be. I mean, maybe, if they're lucky, it'll lead to a pre-show match. Although that is so the revival thing, is that happening next week or is that happening at Elimination Chamber?
I don't know.
Because they didn't really specify in the match. They might have done, but if they did say, I mean, I apologise if I missed it and I'm willing to be wrong. But I think Revival also did a promo against that continuity on YouTube saying, we're going to walk out of Raw, the tag team champions.
Mm.
So I don't know if that match is happening next week. Or on the pre-show of Elimination Chamber, which may as well be Raw.
I hope it is on Raw. I like making go-home shows almost the spillover pay-per-view.
I agree.
That can't fit, the matches that can't fit on there. Next up, we got Elias versus Jeff Jarrett. Road Dogg came out as the MC for Jeff. He is excellent. He can work a crowd so confidently.
Yeah.
I just like when he's out there doing his spiel and he went through the DX stuff, he made a doggy-style sex joke, which is a bit rich coming from a guy who was talking about a family show last week. So yeah. Maybe that was a joke. And he's just, when he's out there with the mic in his hand, I'm like, I'm just comfortable.
Yeah.
I just like watching you say things.
He's very good at what he does. He always has been. Like, that was always the New Age Outlaws were over because Road Dogg was over doing his catchphrase, right? Like, it was doing the, ladies and gentlemen, boys. Like, that's why people really got into the New Age Outlaws. It's why Jim Ross would say, like, they're the greatest tag team of all time. Because yeah. Their merchandise sales were massive. It was so big.
It's similar to Enzo and Big Cass. They were so over because of the whole spiel when they entered the ring.
Exactly. And I did see someone online that said when Road Dogg came out, God, Fred Durst looks crap these days, doesn't he?
There was a Fred Durst about him. Seeing Road Dogg come out right after that Apollo segment, I'm just like, Road Dogg needs to be a manager.
Mm.
And probably for Apollo. Or just for someone.
He's a manager for Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, or was he just a mate? I don't know.
Well, this segment was... I mean, this... Right. So Road Dogg comes out, and to introduce Jeff Jarrett, Carl makes fun of Renee Young for not knowing the words to With My Baby Tonight from last week. And she goes, no, I have learnt them now. And then they say, go on, sing them then. And and clearly, she has not learnt them, so she just freezes. It goes, but I'm not going to sing them.
Nice.
And then when Jarrett comes out and they both sing the song, Cole and Graves turn to Renee and go, go on then, sing it. Made me feel really bad for Renee.
Oh, I feel bad for Renee. Every week she's forced to be on commentary.
Hey, she had a good line later.
Did she?
She
well,
did.
That's one. That's one good line so far.
Sometimes you get one. And then, yeah, they do With My Baby Tonight. Road Dogg jokes that he can't believe that he remembered all the words,
mm-hmm.
which was funny. Elias comes out to interrupt. They have a match. I did like Road Dogg as well when Elias says, like that song and you... It hasn't aged well. And Road Dogg off mic goes, that hurt my feelings.
Yeah. That's classic Attitude Era, actually having a conversation. Not, it's my turn to talk.
Yeah.
Now it's my turn to talk. It's like, people do talk back and forth.
Yeah. But anyway, the idea of this segment was they're doing Elias versus Jeff Jarrett. It's Jeff Jarrett's first match on Raw since like 1998 or whatever it is, or 1999. And Elias wins. So you're like, okay, cool. So they're using this nostalgia act to get Elias over. That's a sensible thing to do. But then Jarrett and Road Dogg lay Elias out afterwards with a guitar shot. So I'm like, so no one gets over. Like, you either want to use this to get Elias over or you're doing this to get nostalgia pop. Mm. Like, you can't have both.
It's, it is problematic. And Road Dogg is there with Jeff interfering a bunch. Not physically, but sort of getting up on the apron. And I don't think the crowd were as into this babyface act of Jeff and Road Dogg to forgive the cheating.
Mm.
Like, Elias has only just turned heel. So it wasn't the most effective use of everyone. That guitar shot looked horrible.
Yeah.
It didn't smash.
No, and the crowd booed that because they were expecting it to smash. Yeah.
Oh, that must have sucked. But I like Jeff.
I like Jarrett,
too. I just like seeing Jarrett wrestle. Road Dogg needs to cut more promos, and maybe separately, though, and Jeff Jarrett needs to wrestle. I would love to see him in a sort of one last run mid-card intercontinental title picture.
Hey, man, I'm completely fine with that.
Yeah.
But if you're using Jarrett to get over Elias, this is not the way
to do it. No, I agree.
I think it was Brian Alvarez tweeted out, so people love it when we keep bringing up things that Alvarez and Meltzer say on their radio show and on Twitter. I think they really enjoy it. But he did say, like, well, Elias' tag partner's got to be the Honky Tonk Man, right?
Mm.
That was my fantasy book. Do you remember years ago when I said what I wanted for the Royal Rumble was Elias to open it, and then Jarrett come out next, and then the Honky Tonk Man would come out after that, and you would essentially just do this sort of musical trio.
A bit of Aidan English in there at the time as well. After this, we got Natalya backstage, and Dana Brooke walks in after they lost their tag match last week to qualify for the Elimination Chamber. And she apologizes how she didn't take them seriously. And the staging of this, I've just got this for Luke. You're going to have to Google it. Natalya is sitting on a chair facing to the left of the camera. Dana Brooke is not looking at her, standing up, looking on the other side of the camera. It just looked so pretentious, like it was this stage show, two woman play stage show about feelings, and it was rubbish. It was a rubbish promo, And then at the end of it, Dana Brooke gets annoyed that Natalya isn't answering her back, and she's pouring out her heart here. She's like, fine, I'll go show you. I can do it by myself. And Natalya sits up and goes, huh, and takes out the earphones that she was listening to.
Earbuds
from the sort of Apple ones that are Bluetooth.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, they're not that noise cancelling.
No, they are not.
I feel like, as well as concussion tests, a lot of these divas, a lot of these, the women's division need to be checked for hearing, especially with Alexa Bliss a few weeks ago, and she didn't hear the guy knocking on the door. She was right next to the door. What's happening here?
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. What was Natalya getting her gear out of?
I don't know. She didn't look like Natalya. I'm not 100% sure that was Natalya.
Is this like the Carmella thing? You know that picture they've got of Carmella that they sometimes use for graphics? Yeah. You look at it, you're like, that's not Carmella.
Ronda Rousey's the same. I'm like, is that Ronda Rousey's weird cousin?
Yeah.
That you've made pose for your graphics?
See if I can find it, because it's the oddest. I think Carmella's even made fun of it on social media before.
Mm.
You keep talking, I'll try and
Dana Brooke was also talking really loud. So that there are so many reasons why Natalya should have heard her.
Yeah, she was talking very, very loudly.
I don't know why this got to me so much. Yeah, that is terrifying.
Yeah.
That's like a sex doll version of Carmella.
It's not her, right?
That is strange. It's very airbrushed. That's the problem, I think.
That's an official WWE photo.
Honestly, I think their graphics department is one guy. But, like, what's happened to all their match graphics? It's just, here's the generic shot of someone with another generic shot of someone and a kind of barren wasteland in the background.
Well,
or a sunset.
That's if you're lucky. Most of the time on the website, it's just against a black background.
Oh, my God.
With a slight gradient on it.
Why can't people walk towards the camera? Look, here's a match tonight. People walking towards the camera
doing their pose. I missed animated graphics.
Oh,
love
favorite.
Animated graphics.
After this,
it's
so
visually interesting.
It is. After this, we got Finn Balor come out and say how he's going to take the fight to Bobby Lashley, just like he took the fight to Brock Lesnar.
Because he made Brock Lesnar believe.
This is just rubbish. He lost.
Yeah, but he made him believe.
So they had a match against Leo Rush, and Bobby was banned from ringside. And halfway through this match, Rush was doing some impressive things. I suddenly thought, I'm seeing Prince Devitt versus Leo Rush.
Yeah.
This could have been amazing.
Yeah, but you don't really think that because Leo Rush he's that lad that manages Bobby Lashley, and Finn Balor is that guy that made Brock Lesnar believe or whatever.
This is a potentially video game level crazy level of moves match.
Yeah.
And it was just a slightly fun bit. Yeah. Whatever. It's an intercontinental title feud that I thought Apollo was a part of, but he's not anymore. He had
was
a pose
he a part
down.
Of it?
He had a pose down with Bobby.
Was this while I was away?
Beat him up.
Didn't Apollo Crews win a battle royal?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I've just misremembered or invented it in my head.
No, I'm pretty sure it was over the Christmas period when we weren't watching Raw. I think Apollo Crews won a battle royal and then had a match with, but Bobby wasn't champion
then.
Yep.
Bobby, it was the Monday after Bobby won the Intercontinental title belt, and he had a pose off with Apollo Crews.
That was one of the weeks I wasn't here, I think.
I don't know what's happening. So after this, Paige here.
She did.
This was clunky.
She came, like, Balor's making his exit, and all of a sudden Paige just comes out and just like, did you miss me?
Yeah.
And then was like, I've got a film coming out, here's a trailer.
And that's it.
And that was it.
I thought they were going to come back to the arena and she'd do something.
Nope.
But no, we got something far worse. We got a moment of bliss. I thought we'd seen the end of it.
No, man.
Now that she's returned and been medically cleared, she's doing the moment of bliss stuff again.
But this is how you get people over.
This has the worst track record of any talk show segment in WWE.
Oh, I don't know. There was Abraham Washington, I think, had one on ECW that might be worse.
At least he was charismatic, though.
That's true.
But Alexa Bliss does evidently not care about this. I think it's so awful. And what made it worse is they combined crappiness by having the guest as EC3. And as soon as they said that, I thought, he's not speaking. He's not going to be allowed to speak. We are not going to hear him say his first word in WWE yet, on the main roster at least.
Yeah.
And that's it. And they made it worse than that, because EC3 sits down and he can't speak because Alexa Bliss is too randy for him. She was randy for EC3, covered in baby oil, and his massive
bank account. Yeah, sure.
It's a penis thing. She was referring to the size of his penis. Bliss was randy.
Yeah, I've said EC3 comes out in his gear, does his full entrance. Bliss makes a dick joke.
Yeah. So this was rubbish, and then Nia Jax and Tamina walk out.
I will say, I loved Nia Jax in this segment. I thought Nia Jax was brilliant in this segment.
She is good. But I just think there's something about the moment of Bliss that sucks the life out of everyone, apart from what happened after Nia Jax and Tamina.
Yeah.
Dean Ambrose, does not give an F, Xavier, came out.
Do you remember when Batista decided that he stopped caring?
Oh, my God.
And it was the best Batista had ever been.
This.
I'm wondering if that's what we're getting with Dean.
You're right. That's it. Because, remember, this was a guy who was, you know, he came out of prison last August. He looks jacked.
Prison?
Yeah, well, that was the joke, that he went away.
Oh, I see.
And he came back and he just looked like he got out of prison in his vest and jeans.
Yeah.
And a shaved head and beard, yeah. And then he, you know, he had a germaphobe gimmick. Then he was just a straight up heel. I swear there was some kind of sort of unnatural gimmick that he had for a few weeks in promos. He's like, this can't happen. It's unnatural. He said it a few times.
Did he?
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I don't remember that at all. That was a hilariously loud laugh.
Now, he is like, screw it.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm leaving in April. The company's announced I'm leaving in April. I'm just going to job a lot and have fun. Someone wrote on Reddit, he should start wearing shades, because all he's seeing is the house lights for the next couple of months.
And it was, because I know a lot of people are erring on the side of caution that this is a work. And I get why people do that, because you don't want to be the person that was fooled. So you just play the, oh, it was a work card. I knew it was a work all along. I don't really know where I sit on this, because part of me does think it's a brilliant concoction between Vince and Dean, and they're working, everyone, they're working. It's Brian. I keep thinking it's Brian Pillman. And then this happens, where there's no mention of the fact he was leaving, no mention of the Triple H thing last week. It's only focused on the Nia bit, and then I'm going like, no, he is leaving.
Oh, he
is leaving, and he has stopped caring.
Yeah, so he says to Nia, hey, you've obviously got a crush on me. It's my raw animal magnetism.
Oh, man.
And the genuine laughs. I'm laughing at home. The crowd are laughing in the arena. And he just dishes out zingers.
Yeah.
EC3, where's EC1 and 2? That was a great line. He called him a mute Chippendale dancer.
Yeah, like, he goes to say, he hands the microphone to him, just knocks it out of his hand. It was really good.
So EC3 still doesn't get to talk. And if they're going to use him to get over EC3, it's just a home run all round.
Yeah. Well, this is where I thought Renee actually had a decent line, which is when Dean's interviewing. He says to Alexa Bliss, oh, I'll take over this interview. And starts taking the mick out of EC3, like, you know, where's EC1 and 2 and things like that. Not letting him answer, knocking the microphone out of his hand. And then sort of like beating him up and things like that. EC3, that's him. And Renee just goes, I'll work on his interview skills with him at home. And nice. I was like, good, Renee. That felt off the cuff good, Renee. Yeah.
If only she was allowed to show her personality more.
I could almost hear, I was like, it's the real Renee.
Yeah.
She is still in there.
And then she was shouted at. How dare you show personality? You're only meant to go, oh my, wow.
Yeah, what a warrior.
I don't know words to old songs. This turned into EC3 taking on Dean Ambrose in a pretty short match. And EC3 won with a roll-up after...
A jackknife.
Sorry, a jackknife. I think he injured himself.
Wait, EC3?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think, Sami Zayn style, he's hurt his shoulder. Something happened. I can't remember where it was, but all of a sudden, he is awkwardly moving his shoulder.
Oh, really?
The pin happens really quickly. I don't know if this was meant to be a longer match. And then he's celebrating outside and he can only lift one arm.
Interesting.
And there was a bit when he like thumped the barricade and I was like, that could either be yay, I won, or God damn it, I just injured myself in my debut match.
Yeah, I finally made it onto TV in a wrestling ring and I've gone and injured myself.
So watch that space. I think EC3's injured. But maybe it's not a big injury. Maybe it'll be fine tomorrow.
Maybe he just wants to join the club. He's like, hey, all the top stars have got injuries. Mm. If I also get an injury, maybe they'll think I'm a top star too.
Or he's like, I hate this mute gimmick. And he just dives his shoulder into the ground. Commits Harry Carey.
More importantly, though, this is where we saw that someone had a Support Wrestle Talk sign in the crowd.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the EC3 posted up an image on his Instagram, and you can see it in the background.
Yes, well done.
Well done to whoever that was.
Mojo Rawley cut another great mirror promo.
Yeah, you've skipped a segment here.
Did I?
Yeah, more Charlie. Mean Charlie asking how Angle feels, like, can you win?
And yeah, you're pretty rubbish, Kurt.
Yeah, and he said that I was going to leave my gear at home, but something told me to bring it.
Probably the booking agents.
Yep. And then Braun walks up and says, it'll be an honor to tag with you. And that was it. Mm. Then we got the Mojo promo in the mirror.
Yep. And then we got the main event.
Just a note on that Mojo cutting the mirror promo, which was very good. But the way that it was filmed, Mojo wasn't looking at the mirror. He was looking at the mirror so it looked to the camera.
Mm.
So Mojo's not looking at himself.
Weird.
So either they don't know how to stage things, or it's done on purpose. So he's looking at us.
It's our fault.
Exactly. He's not talking to his reflection. He's talking to... Also, in kayfabe, was he just carrying this mirror around with him from town to town?
In a dark room?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's not dive in too deep into this.
He walks up to the backstage like staff and says, like, have you got a really dark room that I can go into for a little bit?
One battle at a time, Luke. And Mickey James and Nia Jax are at battle this week. Drew McIntyre, Baron Corbin taking on Kurt Angle and Braun Strowman was the main event in a tall man match, I said in the review, apart from Kurt. I thought this was going to be Kurt finally showing some fire, showing how he can hang with the new guys. That was not what happened. He was worked over. I thought he didn't show anything in this match.
He did a little bit towards the end. He threw some German suplexes. He threw some angle slams. He nearly got the pin on Baron Corbin for whatever that's worth.
Well, it wasn't anywhere near enough for me. I just like, if you're going to tell a comeback story, frickin' tell a proper comeback story.
Either have him win or have him lose again.
Yeah, but have a really valiant attempt.
Oh, yeah, if he's going to lose, then he needs to look good in that defeat.
Yeah, and then, so it's all really focused on Baron Corbin and Drew McIntyre and Braun Strowman. And the finish was so lame. Braun beats up Drew McIntyre and Corbin too much. So the referee does the... Like, this is so rare in WWE. The referee's like, no, you're not the legal man. It's a DQ. And it's not done enough to set it up as a proper finish. So the crowd go really cold. Like, oh, well, that we've been screwed out of a proper finish here. Really lazy, ineffective booking.
Yeah, essentially, Braun was in the ring and he went to attack Baron Corbin. And Baron's like, hey, you're not the legal man. You'll get DQ'd loudly as well. You'll get DQ'd if you attack me.
Wink.
And Braun was like, I don't care. And attacks Baron. And the referee's like, I mean, he did warn you. Ding, ding, ding. I was like, that finish sucked.
Yeah.
That was rubbish.
Because it makes everyone look bad.
Yeah,
it makes the referee look bad, worst of all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, like, Baron was interfering in the match when he wasn't the legal man. Why was there no DQ for that then?
Totally. There was a cool spot outside where Drew claymored Braun over the barricade.
That was nice.
But then Braun and Kurt got on top, and rather than sort of the mirror image of last week's choke slam on the steel steps bit, Braun slammed Corbin and McIntyre on some steel steps.
Yeah, so does that mean that Kurt's redeemed himself? Is his storyline over now? Because they didn't win the match, but they stood tall at the end.
Yeah. So a lot of this episode of Raw was promoted around Kurt Angle doing this really important address. And I get that you don't always have to deliver that and you can delay it and have cliffhangers for, oh, what is this announcement? You don't have to immediately pay it off. But at least tease it in an interesting way. And I thought the way they handled the whole Kurt Angle thing was so lackluster and left so much on the table.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much I thought that the Becky segment was great and then the rest of the show was fine.
Yeah, fine to below fine. So I gave it a low average.
Yeah, I'd probably go the same.
It's a it's a weird filler episode. Like, nothing much happened, and there was so... It was so lacking in star power. I really felt it this week.
3 hours as well. Yeah. When you're lacking star power, really, you really feel the time when there isn't like a top guy to be into. And I think that was the biggest problem with Raw this week. It almost felt like, you remember when we went to go see Raw a couple of years ago and Braun got injured and they just found out that Braun had been injured. So they had to completely rewrite the show on the day. And you could tell, because it really did feel like a... We just need to fill 3 hours here. Send these lads. Dean Ambrose is the GM this week. And it was just like, it was wacky Dean for 3 hours. And it was a really, really boring, boring episode of Raw. But it just had to, and it almost felt like it was like, oh man, Seth's out. Sasha's out. All of our guys and girls are out. Do this. And we'll just do all the big stuff next week before Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
But like, going into Elimination Chamber, what are the Raw matches?
There's a Ronda match, but we don't know who she's facing.
We don't know there's a Ronda match.
Well, Ronda's been advertised for a match, but yeah, I guess it hasn't been done on TV.
Yeah, John Cena was advertised to be in the Royal Rumble.
Good point. Maybe there's one match announced. I just know the Elimination Chamber match on SmackDown.
So there's no tag. Well, there might be, but that might be on Raw next week. We don't know. There's no Universal Championship match.
Well, there's some Raw women's teams in the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, but I don't think that counts as a Raw match. Mm. And really, was that built on this show other than one of the teams being added into it? Which apparently was meant to happen last week, but that's when they found out that Sasha was injured. So they had to delay it till this week. What else is there? Who else is on the card? Who else is on this team? Braun's not got a match. Kurt's not got a match. Drew, Baron. No one's got matches announced. Whereas, like, SmackDown, they've got the Men's Elimination Chamber, and they've also got a tag feud going on there, which, and presumably tonight, we'll find out what Asuka's doing.
Mm.
So the poll for Fantasy Booking Warfare has gone live. We've had suggestions come in. We've had so many suggestions that I couldn't fit them all into the Patreon poll, because you're only allowed a maximum of 20,
whoa,
and we actually had 25.
Well, we've got a lot of... Ledgehammers.
Yeah, so that's unfortunately not everyone has made it into the list, but I've taken out the ones that I think were meant to be there as jokes, like Vacant's first successful title win.
That'd be very difficult.
Or Pledgehammer Dan's debut in NXT UK as the manager of Walter. Like he needs a manager. So would you like to hear...
If it was Dan, it would work. Just chop him. Chop his manager. We'll book it to the eventual breakup and face turn for Walter.
So would you like to hear the suggestions, the 20 suggestions that are in there? We're going to get live reactions from Ollie Davis.
I haven't seen them yet.
EC3 versus John Cena at WrestleMania.
That's uninspiring.
John Cena versus Hiroshi Tanahashi in a hair versus hair match.
Oh, now we're talking. Especially with John Cena's recent locks.
Triple H and his attempt to usurp Vince as WWE chairman.
I feel like I've booked this. In every single one.
It comes up
recently.
A lot, I think. It actually was suggested at least 3 times by various different people, but in various different wording.
Well, it's like all our NXT invasion stuff, the Undisputed Era stuff, always kind of works in Triple H taking over the company.
Yeah. Revisionist history, the reign of Finn Balor as Universal Champion.
Hey, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
To go back and do something that's already happened.
Here's what I'm pushing for, but it's not going to win. A good old-fashioned wrestling wedding.
Yes, that would be awesome.
But that's only on 2% of the votes. That is not winning. The first big WWE Women's Tag Title feud was Dan's suggestion.
Hmm. Who would you have get married?
Well, I mean, obviously, you would do Alexa Bliss and EC3, right? Like, that's the obvious direction to go at the moment.
Uh-huh. And then it's all a ruse and she actually marries Otis.
Yeah.
But she can't be Mrs. Dozovich because... No. Dozovich doesn't exist as a name anymore.
So he would be Mr. Bliss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, why didn't they drop Bliss? Why isn't she just Alexa?
Well, why isn't John Cena John?
Yeah.
So here's some more suggestions. Kenny Omega's first storyline in AEW.
That'd be difficult without a roster, but probably something Jericho involved, I would go.
Triple H versus Dean Ambrose at Mania 35.
That would be fun.
This one, I feel like we've done this before, but Four Horsewomen versus Four Horsewomen, MMA rules at Mania 35.
Mm-hmm.
Drew McIntyre's run from Elimination Chamber to SummerSlam.
Mid-card.
I like this one, but this is not going to win either. The end of the brand split.
Ah.
And sort of like the unification of titles.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. This one looks like it's likely to win at the moment. The Velveteen Dream's main roster debut.
Yeah, that is fun.
You'll love.
He's a great character to play with as well.
Yeah, you'll love this because it's the sort of storyline that you absolutely hate being suggested. AEW invade WWE.
Oh my god, that's so big. We just did NXT invading WWE, and we don't know who's on the roster. What's how much of the percentage of the vote has that got?
That has got 5% of the votes, and compared to Velveteen Dream's 20% currently.
Okay.
I don't think that's going to win. Velveteen Dream versus John Cena at Mania 35. Lots of people versus John Cena, apparently. Andrade's main roster push. Conor McGregor versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
That's cool.
Rebook the Summer of Punk.
Oh, that is awesome. Yep. What's that on?
That is on 7%. So it's about the same as AEW Invades Raw. Bray Wyatt's return to the main roster.
That could be... I mean, we've done a new Wyatt family thing. No, we've done Bray Wyatt versus Matt Hardy
before, yeah, way back
when. In a broken
universe,
before Matt Hardy had even come to WWE.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With 0% currently, Shayna Baszler's main roster debut.
Mm-hmm.
And Tommaso Ciampa versus John Cena at WrestleMania. Huh. Those are our suggestions thus far.
And the top three are?
Top three currently are... Velveteen Dream is with 20%. In second place currently is Triple H's attempt to usurp Vince as WWE chairman with 16%. So that's actually quite close. And after that, I guess, it would be Bray Wyatt's return to the main roster with 8% of the vote.
Mm.
Currently the standing at the time of this recording. Although that is also tied with the reign of Finn Balor as Universal Champion.
Okay.
We had our first tie.
That's crazy,
Past weekend with what we're going to do for Wrestle Ramble Extra between Elimination Chamber 2011 and No Way Out 2000. So I had to put up an extra poll, and up until about half an hour before that poll closed, it was 50-50. And
that's
crazy. Guys, pick one. I'm asking you, pick one.
And have you unveiled the winner?
So we have not unveiled the winner yet, but the winner is Elimination Chamber 2011. Won 53% of the vote, won in that poll.
That's crazy.
So yes, I've started watching it yesterday. I've got about an hour left of it, which I'm hoping to do this afternoon.
It's thick and fast for the Patreons at the moment.
Isn't it just?
I feel the relaunch has gone really well with Wrestle League, because we'll be doing Elimination Chamber predictions for that next week.
Yep. Craig, it's next week, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. And Wrestle Ramble Extra will go up on Monday. We had Ramble Club
up
yesterday. To the first proper new full format.
I loved doing Ramble Club.
Because you just got drunk.
It's not just that. It was just... It's just fun to just like sit around and just chat for ages. It's nearly 2 hours long, that podcast. And we just sat there and we just chatted, and people suggested topics for us to talk about. It was our rubbish attempt at live streaming, because I put up a post on Patreon and then we just answered questions as they came in. I had a blast doing it. It was so much fun. And listening back to it, it is really, really good.
Let's have a look at some of the feedback from it. We talk about Pornhub.
We do. Poor old Dan was a bit afraid that it might not be for him.
Oh yeah, but yeah. It was okay.
Well, I don't know. I assume he's listened to it. A lot of, him and Marcel Dura, our German contingent, really getting excited about the 16 karat gold conversation.
Yes, yeah.
And Dan forwarding me the WXW website because that has got the dates for 16 karat gold. My argument to that, though, when I type in 16 karat gold wrestling 2019. And WXW's website is not the first result. Someone needs to have a word with their website team.
Their SEO guys.
Yeah, because that's poor form.
So here's just some of the rave reviews coming in for this new sort of format edition of Ramble Club, where we just get drunk and talk about everything.
You say we get drunk, but we have drinks.
We have drinks, yeah. Although Phil has commented, how pissed is Ollie at the start of recording?
I thought you were just merry.
That was my first drink.
Yeah, it was your first drink. You were just excited to be set down.
Yeah.
I think you were giddy as well, because we were going to go to the pub and play Smash Up.
Yes. Good old-fashioned rambling at its finest.
Oh.
I could listen for hours.
Me too, mate.
Good show, lads. I'll hopefully listen to it before the weekend. Hasn't even listened to the show. Still into it. Holy S-word. This is going to be fun. By the way, I love how you can hear a beer can opening. Great Foley work. And that's all of the comments.
Before we get out of here, this email comes in from Jasmine, who says, Hi, Ollie, Laurie, Randy, and Luke. brackets, I saved the best for last. I found this random video on YouTube and it seemed like it was right up your video game alley. I hope you enjoy. Sending a lot of love from Florida. Thank you very much, Jasmine. This is, and I actually do know this because I'm a subscriber to this YouTube channel.
Mm.
It is a person who does insane domino setups.
Oh, yes.
And this is like a giant, it's over, I think he said over 1 million dominoes.
Good grief. Because how long does that take?
Well, yeah, to set up, because he's got like, he's made 21 videos and it's essentially just all of his dominoes just going over. Look how satisfying that
wow,
is.
Wow, this is great audio content.
Oh, look how satisfying.
Oh my God, it's so big.
Are you talking about EC3's bank bounce?
Yeah, yeah, there it goes. I like the ones when they fall.
Yeah.
Some people just want to watch the dominoes fall.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the line from Batman, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure it is. We have still yet to hear a fire alarm test, so what's
well,
our time
I presume
like?
The fire alarm, that like maybe the test has happened, it doesn't work.
Let's have this quick email here. This comes in from Max. Hi, Ollie, Luke, Fakador, and not Randy.
Well done.
I was listening to your podcast from last year titled Favorite WWE Pay-Per-Views Ever, WWE Gimmick Swaps. That was a really old show.
Mm.
And you were mentioning that one of your wishes is to have videos of you guys playing N64 wrestling games and recreating your childhood creator wrestler avatars. Do it. It would be super fun, and also more gaming content definitely could be it could be a good thing. Maybe a sister channel with 5 question marks, like a fun vlog channel of your life slash work in the studio, etc. Also, more live events, please. Do you have one planned in the near future? Love, with a little, with the greater than sign with the 3, so it
yes.
makes it a little heart.
Yeah.
It's from Max.
Oh, thanks, Max.
Well, we are talking about a potential live events coming up soon.
Fakador keeps talking about it, like the big plans he's got.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's I don't know what he's talking about.
But he mutters sometimes as well. Like, I'm starting to wonder whether or not there really was a fire alarm test, and he's just coming in to try and distract us.
It was weird how he went. I don't know if the mics picked it up, how he evilly cackled.
Mm.
And then the door fully closed.
Yeah.
So we saw him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure it's fine.
Thank you very much for your email, Cody. The great closed debate rages on, but unfortunately we've got to wrap this up because I don't want to get into this thing again. 36 inches is 36 inches no matter where you are in the world. That's a size.
No, it doesn't work that
way. If you have 50 milliliters of water, that is 50 milliliters of water. That is a definite size. It's a definite weight of something. Anyway, that's all we've got time for on this show. It makes me so angry. We'll be back tomorrow with the SmackDown review. Which SmackDown women's team is just going to be added into the chamber? They don't have to qualify for things. They just added the Iconics over the weekend. So that's all we've got time for. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.